Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Things about NFL Network during the week is that they replay a bunch of the best games from the previous weekend's action. And right now, you can see fourth quarter of Colts and Browns. They're just about to go into it. If you didn't see that game, they've been replaying that game for the last hour plus or so. It's kind of fun to think about the possibilities now through week five, and we do not have Thursday night football because of the tweaks to the Buffalo Bills schedule. So Bills and Chiefs is set for part of a Monday doubleheader. No Thursday football. We kick off on Sunday with a plethora of games, a smorgasbord, if you will. And of course, we've got teams on bye, and we've got cool storylines from east to west and north to south, and we're asking you through 5 weeks, your top three and your bottom three in the NFL. Has it changed from last week when we played the same fun game? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We'll get to your calls. We'll get back to more of the college football element as well. It's a really big weekend in the SEC. Soon we'll have the Big Ten, the Pac-12 joining us. But we're firmly focused on football now at the NFL level. And we're pleased to welcome longtime Raiders front office executive, first female CEO in NFL history. And of course, she's an author as well, now part of the CBS Sports family as a football analyst, Amy Trask, joining us from Southern California. And Amy, here we are. We're 5 weeks in. There have been some obstacles. We've seen teams face some major hurdles. But overall, as you look at it through the business brain that you've got, what are your impressions about the first 5 weeks of the season?
Well, you made a great point, which is there have been some hurdles, but they're being addressed. And these are business challenges. And the reason I note that, Aim, is there are a lot of people right now that have real challenges and real hardships that go to core elements of their lives. So are there challenges that the NFL is facing? Absolutely. But these are business challenges, and they can be addressed as long as people understand they're going to have to be adaptive and they're going to have to be flexible. And if they face these challenges and adapt with creativity and ingenuity, good things can happen.
If you were still in a front office working for Al Davis, so with the Raiders, you have an owner who's got high standards, you have a team, you know, of more than 100 guys when you consider all of the coaching staff and the players, how much extra stress do you think this would add to every day have to not only get tested, but then wait, I imagine with some anxiety, until the tests all come back negative?
Well, and you're absolutely right. It's well over 100 people when you look at the organization and you include players and practice squad, which, of course, has been increased now, and coaches. Most teams now have well over 20 coaches when you count all the assistants. And there's trainers and there's doctors and there's video guys and equipment guys. It's well over 100, approaching 200. So are there added stresses and are there added challenges, both logistical and financial? Of course they are, but those aren't life stresses like losing one's job and not being able to feed one's family, or trying to maintain one's job while homeschooling one's children. And the reason I note this is you referenced Al Davis, and I believe he would have kept it in perspective as you and I are talking about right now. There are challenges, and then there are real challenges.
Oh my gosh, perspective in 2020 is probably the most valuable tool when you recognize that there's so much that we can still be thankful for. Amy Trask is a longtime Raiders front office executive, served as CEO, and Dal Davis, of course, is the man that taught her so much of what she knows, which is always great to get her insight. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So in the middle of a season, how disruptive is it to not be in your facilities for almost 2 weeks?
Well, it certainly didn't hurt the Titans, did it? And I'm saying that somewhat tongue-in-cheek, because, of course, it is a challenge as well. But the fact is, they were disrupted in terms of their routine more than any other team. Now, perhaps the fact that they weren't practicing and they weren't in the facility and they were doing everything by Zoom gave them the ability to sort of reinvigorate themselves, regenerate, rejuvenate. And they also went into the game with a bit of an edge and a chip on their shoulder because they felt that they had been unfairly singled out. And whether they were or not, they felt unfairly singled out for virus protocol breaches, if you will. So maybe you combined a little bit of rest with a chip on the shoulder, but that 2 weeks off didn't hurt them last night.
I've been really excited to talk to you as we've seen a couple of teams make coaching changes. And I can only imagine this is really difficult for an owner, for a CEO, front office to know when is the right time. So what factors do you consider, Amy, when you're making a coaching change, especially when it's in season?
Well, there's business factors to consider. If you cut a coach with time remaining on his contract, and if that coach doesn't sign somewhere else such that there's an offset, you will owe the coach the money remaining on the contract. Again, assuming no offset, that can be a very large number. So the team first has to consider, can it handle that from a financial standpoint? Does it have the ability to pay two coaches at the same time? And then there are other consequences associated with it. You know, I always ask this question, and do what? When a team is going to make a coaching change and fire a coach, it needs to ask itself, and do what? Do we have a better answer? Now, maybe the team will say the better answer is anyone else, anybody but this guy. But if you can't answer that question with an answer that's better than the status quo, then what are you doing?
It's funny that you say that, because people come to me about, oh, this quarterback needs to be benched, that quarterback needs to be benched. And I always say, it's the devil you know, the devil you don't know. You know, you get rid of one quarterback, who steps into his place? Are you sure you have a replacement?
You know, you and me both, because I remember there were years I spent with the team where we had quarterbacks from time to time that the fans just didn't like. And I remember fans yelling to me, not in a nasty way, but, you know, sort of shouting out to me when I'd walk by, Amy, cut the quarterback. And I'm thinking, first of all, okay, that would be Al you need to be talking to. But beyond that, I would look at the fans and I would say, and do what? What's your solution? If we do what you say, and do what? Who plays? Because you got to be able to answer that question. And if the answer to the question isn't better than the status quo, what are you doing?
When we talk about players then, Amy, so that's a coach, right? We're talking about the leadership and the voice, and in the case of the Texans and the Falcons, certainly the losing came into play royally. When you have a player who is asking to go somewhere else, is asking to be traded, is asking out of his contract, just wants out, period. And what are the same thing? What are the factors that you're considering when you decide, okay, in the middle of the season, we're going to cut this guy?
Again, a lot of considerations. Financial. If we cut him and he doesn't sign somewhere else, how much do we owe him? Can we afford that? Because if we sign someone to replace him and this guy doesn't get an offset, we're paying two players in full. That's if there's any money owed on a guaranteed basis. And certainly with veterans, you've got the vested amount from the time game one is played and you've got guarantees, et cetera, et cetera. Without digging into too much detail on that, you may owe him money if there's no offset. Then you have to sign someone else if you want to replace them. And then there's the cap to consider. Can you jiggle and juggle the cap? You will have people in an organization when there's a player who is perceived as a problem who are advocating, it doesn't matter, he needs to be gone, he needs to be gone. And you'll have other voices in the organization saying, okay, wait, but whoa, we've got to think about these business concerns, cash and cap.
You know, it's interesting because obviously if there's a really talented player, he generally will find another job and another job. But we got a couple of guys out there, Earl Thomas being one, who a couple of different locker rooms full of his peers have indicated that's not a player that we want here. That's not a player that will fit. Now you think about Le'Veon Bell and what he left in his wake in Pittsburgh. And the Jets are, they're a mess right now anyway. But you kind of wonder at what point do these players wear out their welcome where they're just not worth the effort anymore.
Well, and, you know, there's always a mentality in a team. Well, I know. He was a problem somewhere else, or they didn't get things right somewhere else, but we can handle it. And teams do that all the time. They think that just because there was an issue with a player and another team or two more teams or three other teams, we can do this. They always want to think, and look, I know this from experience. You think, well, we can handle what another team didn't, even if, you know, it looks like this has been a problem in many, many places. The fact is, teams between now and the end of the season are going to suffer injuries at any number of positions. And when those injuries start, you know, racking up, they may look to Earl or to Le'Veon or to any other player who's not signed. So I don't know that the final chapter has been written for this season for those players.
She's a former CEO of the Raiders and now an analyst with CBS Sports. You can catch her on weekends at a couple of different pregame shows, which is always fun. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio with Amy Trask. From the business side, are teams at this point starting to think about 2021 when we know the revenues, the lost revenue from this season will come into play, and when things may change in terms of how they've been able to do business in the past, just like it's been for almost every industry in our country?
Right, and the answer is we don't know when things are going to go back to normal, some sort of normal, a new normal. Mm. So my understanding and my belief is they're preparing for all sorts of contingencies. When can fans be back in the stands in full? Even when they're allowed back in full capacity, that is, will fans feel comfortable coming back? There's any number of issues. And what I understand and believe the league and teams to be doing is parallel planning for all contingencies. Well, here's what we'll do if circumstance A exists or circumstance B exists or circumstance C exists. They're going to have parallel plans, because we don't know yet what the future holds in terms of timing.
So to that end, as a CEO, would you be a lot more cautious about handing out big deals or negotiating with players who maybe do still have a year left on their contracts?
I think caution is very important. And remember, this all has to be worked out with the Players Association. One of the things that has been very nice to see throughout this is it appears, and I understand that it is the case, that the league and the Players Association are working together cooperatively and collaboratively, recognizing that this is a problem that we all, meaning the players, the team owners, the league itself, team executives, coaches, we all need to solve this together. And this shouldn't be about league versus union. This should be league and union working to solve it together. And it appears that that's what's happening. That's going to become a big deal, because the cap for next year is going to have to be addressed given how much the revenues are down this year.
I got to tell you, that really impresses me, Amy, and considering that it's been a few years of maybe some friction between Damaris Smith, the union, and Roger Goodell and the owners, and they've kind of butted heads on a bunch of pretty key issues. And then you think about what baseball went through in 2020 and how brutal that public negotiation was. It's really impressive the way that they've decided to put aside differences to make sure this season takes place.
It really is heartening, Amy. It's heartening from a business standpoint. It's heartening from just a sort of a societal standpoint. And, you know, you talk again about perspective. I believe that the league and the Players Association are both keeping any number of matters in perspective. You know, Dame Lillard had a great quote a couple years ago when he was asked after a game about the expectations and the pressure on him. And Lillard's response was, pressure? this is playing ball. And he went on to talk about pressure is the homeless man who doesn't know where his next meal is coming from. It's the single mom who's trying to scuffle and pay rent. And he went on to say, we get paid a lot of money to play a game. So, yeah, there's challenges. And he differentiated those sorts of challenges from life pressures. And that is perspective. And I think a lot of people associated with the game are keeping things in perspective. Bill Belichick has articulated something very similar. Vic Fangio has,
yes.
And it's nice to see.
I was just about to mention that, Coach Fangio putting it in a bit of a humorous way, but we're going to find out who the bitchers and the whiners are and who the complainers are, and I don't want our team to be in that category.
Well said by him.
Amy Trask with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so looking at what we see in the first 5 weeks, what are a few football storylines that jump out at you?
Well, I'm enjoying watching what Cleveland is doing. Baker Mayfield, third year in the league, he's on his fourth head coach, if you include the interim head coach he had for a bit of time, and why not include that? That's four head coaches in 3 years. We don't yet know what he's capable of doing in the league, and I've got my eye on Cleveland because that's very exciting to watch. You mentioned a team earlier that's sort of head-scratching at the moment, and maybe more than the moment, the Jets. That's going to be interesting to watch that as the season goes on. As you noted, there have already been two head coaches fired. We'll see if there will be more. I thought the game between the Titans and the Bills was fascinating. Were people overrating the Bills? Were they underrating the Titans? Was that a one-off explosion by the Titans? Or we see more of that when they face the Texans this week? There's umpteen really good storylines around the league. We saw, I almost said Oakland. I think I should put a dollar in a jar every time I do that.
Me too.
Right. We saw Las Vegas go into Kansas City and knock off the Chiefs decisively. And they've got a powerful combination in Las Vegas, which is a pass protection that is giving Derek Carr a tremendous amount of time with weapons that are very, very, very speedy. And pass protection plus speed is a dangerous combination. And then there's stories that are sort of head-scratching. The Cowboys, prior to Dak going down, were puzzling, and now we'll see what happens there. I just think here's a really good football term for you. Delicious stories all around the league.
Oh, my goodness. I like to use the term smorgasbord, so I think we're on the same page food.
I use delicious.
So, Amy, you mentioned the Raiders. What emotions have you felt or experienced seeing them in Vegas, hearing the name Las Vegas Raiders, and seeing that brand-new stadium?
Well, mixed emotions, and they're not mutually exclusive. The stadium is magnificent, and that's terrific. And for the fans that are excited about the move and are following the team to Las Vegas and love the move, I'm excited for them. And for fans who are heartbroken by the move and are not following the team, in other words, they're saying done, I'm heartbroken for them. And it's, people want to think that it's mutually exclusive to feel for the fans who are sad and be happy for the fans who are happy, but it's not mutually exclusive.
Mm. I had someone make an interesting point to me about how not having the media distraction actually is a benefit. Now, you're part of the media now, but you were also in a front office with the Raiders for years and years. Do you think that there's some truth to that, that not having any media access actually helps teams?
It's an interesting question, a very interesting question. I think it will help some teams more than others because there are more media moments for some teams, more demands on time. And those aren't, that's not intended as a negative or a complaint. It's just that there's more media attention on some teams than others. So your point is well taken. It may help those teams even more than it helps others. It also depends on the makeup and the character of the people with each team as to whether or not they perceived it to be a distraction.
True. Some teams are better equipped to handle it, and they give you the company line. You don't have to worry about them getting off that beaten path. All right, Amy, so this is a total non-football question, but I've been dying to ask you now for a couple of hours. Where did you get that photo of the seals that you posted on Twitter not that long ago?
Oh, not too far from here. On a harbor, like just on a rocky point right where the ocean meets a bay.
Oh, my gosh. They were sunning themselves. They looked so happy.
Oh, and that wasn't all of them. There were about five or six of them sunning themselves. They were chattering, you know, the whole seal bark chatter thing.
Yes.
And then there were seals in the water that were popping up, and there were, like, they were going on and going off. It was just great. And there was a whole crowd gathering because we were just enjoying these seals that were enjoying life. It was a nice moment of relaxation.
Now, see, that would have filled me with total joy. For sure. I feel like that's one of the good things about Twitter and social media is that we get to see pictures of animals.
Yeah, absolutely. and by the way, doing TV from our homes now and doing Zooms from our homes and conferences, I love it when a cat or a dog interrupts. I love it when cats are photobombing and dogs are jumping up. It makes it much, much more fun.
I'm not sure if you know this, but my cat became a radio star. She's very vocal. And so when I was doing my show from home, she was sitting on the arm of my chair. As much as I tried to get rid of her, it didn't work. And all I had to do was say her name, and she just meowed. And so she had the stage to herself. And now listeners believe she should be part of the show.
I love that. And one of our four-legged loves has done quite a bit of photobombing herself. And I think she's looking for an agent.
Nothing will ever be the same after 2020. You can find Amy on Twitter at Amy Trask. So you can see her on CBS and CBS Sports HQ talking about the NFL season. Of course, has the history with the Raiders, first female CEO in the NFL. And she's got her book, too, You Negotiate Like a Girl. It's always good to have you on the show, Amy. Thanks so much for making time for us.
Absolutely. My pleasure to join you. I love the opportunity to do so. Thanks for having me.
Sounds like Amy's cat was cool and made the most of her opportunities to be part of a Zoom call. My cat Sugar just destroyed things. Oh my gosh. I've told people this over and over, but as much as I always wanted my boss to institute a take your pets to work day, I have rescinded that request. I never need to take my pets to work ever again after nearly 3 months of working with them at home. Woo, that was the lesson that I'll never forget. Be careful what you wish for, peeps. Okay, after hearing what Amy has to say, did you notice that everybody wants to talk about the Cleveland Browns these days? Top three, bottom three in the NFL. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Also, I have a serious question about UFC. Okay, as serious as I'll ever be about UFC, but it's a semi-serious question about UFC, and I will ask you next.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You can stand me up.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Joseph is listening in Baltimore. Hi, Joseph.
How you doing, lady? I think you're spectacular as a sports person. You know, you could stand with any man. I went lay down, woke up 3 o'clock. I've been listening to you ever since. All this baseball, football, and hockey stuff are just kids' games to me. The only man's game is between boxing, where it's one-on-one, and bowling. When you get to the real thing, boxing and bowling, when you got one-on-one, then you got pressure.
But bowling, you're just kind of competing against the lane, are you not? I mean, I get that you're matched up with another bowler.
But you got one man against the other man. You ain't got there's got no it. Team thing. Okay. Baseball and football are my two number one sports as far as team goes.
But you said they're not man sports.
Well, but I says as men's sports, you know, as boys' sports.
Joseph, you know what? You call my show anytime, and we will talk about some bowling and some boxing, the real men's sports.
And
Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
That's probably not entirely true. I don't believe that I've ever spent even half a segment on bowling. And this is coming from a person who used to bowl religiously. In my house when I was growing up, every Saturday, we all participated in a bowling league. My brother, me, and my mom. And in fact, my mom met her husband, Mike, in a bowling league. Well, she bowled on the same team as Mike's dad and then met Mike and initially didn't like him. That's funny. Anyway, bowling was a big part of my family history, but I don't know that we're going to be spending much time talking about Pete Weber and his latest accomplishment. He does like the crotch chop, though. That is his signature celebration. That I do know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
How do you like me now?
As for boxing, I've watched 3, maybe 4 boxing matches in my entire life. I'm not big into boxing, though. Also, when I was a kid, my stepdad used to watch Sugar Ray Leonard, and he was kind of a big star when I was growing up. And so I think, I don't really remember. I mean, I've watched maybe one of his boxing matches, and I did watch, well, whatever you make of it, I watched Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather, right? So that wasn't long ago. What? Gosh, maybe it was 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago now. The years all blend together. So I did watch that one. I've watched one UFC fight in my entire life, and it really wasn't by choice. I just felt like it was something because it was such a big match in the sports world. I paid attention to one UFC match. Actually, it's because I made a deal with Dana White, the president of UFC, that if he would come on a show and talk to me, that I would watch a fight that he was promoting. So, yeah, the combat sports are not, they're not my thing. I really have a hard time watching humans beat up other humans and the blood. Now I get it. In football, it's a violent collision sport. Basketball used to be a contact sport. It's not anymore. I don't enjoy watching hockey players club each other with sticks or fight on the ice. And I just have a really hard time with the blood and guts of UFC. And so it's not something that I spend a lot of time on. Plus, they're still niche sports. And so the majority of my audience, while there are a lot of you that do love UFC, I think many of you may know the big names, but not really get that much into the sport. We have had fighters on the show before, and we've talked to Dana White before, but it's still, it's hard for me to stomach. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. May of 2015, so it's actually been more than 5 years since Mayweather and Pacquiao. And Pacquiao was injured, and has he fought since? I feel like there's been some resurgence of Manny Pacquiao, who, by the way, is my family's personal favorite, parts of my family anyway, because my sister-in-law, she was born in the Philippines. She spent the first 12 years of her life there before her mom emigrated. And so she is, I mean, she's Filipino. In fact, when we were hiking over the weekend, we sat down at the top of Bear Mountain just to take a break and have some snacks. And there were some people behind us who were speaking one of the Filipino languages. Now, she's fluent in Tagalog. For those of you who know the various Filipino languages, there are many, many dialects. And so she couldn't understand all of it, but she recognized that there were some Filipinos behind us on the mountain. So that was kind of fun. Anyway, they love Manny Pacquiao. And so they were so excited for that fight, as well as for some of his previous fights. But that's been a long time. It's been 5 years, and that's the last boxing match I watched. So here's my question. And this is a semi-serious question. How many times has Conor McGregor retired? It's been at least 4. Maybe I've missed some. He does this. He's like the boy who cried wolf. He does this every couple months, it feels like. He doesn't like how much money he's making or not making. He feels like he's being disrespected. He doesn't like the venue. Doesn't feel like UFC gives him his proper due. Seriously, how many times has he retired? If you have the answer, please, Producer Dave, because I feel like we're working on a baker's dozen now. Maybe that's exaggerating a bit, but my goodness, he's retired as many times as Brett Favre, if not more.
Oh, definitely more. I don't have the exact number yet, but it's funny when you look for it online, it brings up from June 7th of just this year that he announced his retirement before and said, I'm over it.
Exactly. And he did that after, if I'm not mistaken, after his girlfriend had Didn't he have a son? So he retired then. He retired a couple of years ago, maybe more than I remember, because he was upset with the way that Las Vegas was treating him. He felt like the city wasn't giving him his proper due. He didn't like the money he was making from UFC. He wanted a greater cut of the purse. I remember he and Dana White going back and forth. This guy pulls the retirement card out of his pocket anytime he wants to throw a temper tantrum. So some people pitch a fit on social media. He threatens retirement to the point where now, I don't know if he's retired or active, but you know what's crazy is that as he announces he's going to fight again, so this was happening on Wednesday, nobody even mentioned the fact that he's retired for the fourth or fifth time because people don't even take him seriously anymore.
I can find four announcements since 2016 where he's quote-unquote retired. And
clowning us. He's clowning us.
There's a quote here from Dana White from August of this year saying, "I can't tell you if he'll fight or not in 2021, but he doesn't have a fight planned yet in 2020.
Whatever. Please make me roll my eyes. I am never, ever, 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 ever. I feel like Taylor Swift now. We are never, ever, 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 ever getting back together. I am never, ever sitting here in this chair or on social media and reporting or passing along the news that Conor McGregor has retired because it's not true and he's clowning us. That's his way of getting attention. The man is an attention whore. Please forgive the use of the word, but he is absolutely a guy that uses the retirement. He uses the R word, the retirement announcement, as a way to get attention. But at this point, we should know better. Fool me once, shame on me. Shoot, I suck at cliches. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you, right? And fool me four times, well, then we're just not paying attention. So that's it. He's not retired. He's fighting again. And he wants to be like Brett Favre. That's all I can really come up with. So, you know, that was it for my UFC talk. Okay, back to football after this.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here comes Henry to the left with a stiff arm, throws a man down, and goes out of bounds at the 40. Josh Norman, get you some. Oh, my.
Okay, Josh Norman, that's Thanksgiving dinner right there for you, early.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
One of the highlights of the Tennessee Titans' victory over the Buffalo Bills on Tuesday. And I got to tell you, as much as I enjoyed a Wednesday without any football, just being able to focus on the two baseball games solely, and also being able to take some time and go out and hit golf balls and get some fresh air, I thought about how Thursday is going to feel empty, a little bit naked without any football. So I usually feel like my weekend starts with Thursday night football. And then we're just mere hours before we're done with our final show of the week. And so I am definitely going to miss football on Thursday, but we've got two more baseball games still, the ALCS and the NLCS. They march on. There are no off days. In case you wondered, there will be off days during the World Series. So even though they'll be playing at Globe Life Field and not traveling, they will go back to a regular schedule, which are days off after Game 2 and after Game 5 if necessary, which I think is good for the baseball pitching staffs as well as just in general for the fans, the audiences who maybe need a break or could enjoy having a little bit of a night off. So we'll see. We'll see how the World Series goes and whether or not people tune in. We still don't know the matchup. There are definitely some intriguing possibilities, though. And baseball will take center stage on Thursday. Meanwhile, we'll get back to football on Saturday in college and then Sunday in the NFL. And if you didn't know, there are some juicy games this weekend. Week 6 of the NFL on CBS coming up on Sunday. Most of us will see an AFC Central clash between... Did you hear what I just said? I'm reading the copy verbatim. And before I could even think about it, it just came out of my mouth. What Would you like to point out what's wrong with the copy to the people who are out there listening in case they didn't catch it?
From what I heard AFC Central.
AFC Central.
That's a thing, right?
What exactly is the AFC Central?
I'm unsure.
OMG. Who writes this stuff? Are you kidding me?
I didn't write it.
It's not something you can't easily look up with the NFL standings. AFC Central? Would you like to tell me which teams are in the AFC Central? Apparently this copywriter thinks Pittsburgh and Cleveland are in the AFC Central.
Maybe where we broadcast from overseas.
Oh, my gosh.
That's where the AFC Central is.
Oh,
it's hiding.
Oh, my gosh. I'm embarrassed for me because I read it. I was just reading it. And for whoever wrote this, it's not like it's difficult to look up.
I'm going to find out who wrote it.
Please, find out who wrote it.
I'm going to send them a strongly worded email.
How about we just send it back to our executive producer and be like, yo, this is not right. Except it happens every week. The AFC Central. I mean, that's embarrassing. This is a sports network.
Words are hard.
Oh, my. No, they're not. Don't make excuses. Most of you will see. I feel like I shouldn't even have to read this now. The AFC North Division clash between Baker Mayfield's Browns and Big Ben Steelers, along with other regional action. The day begins with James Brown, he didn't write this, and the guys, Boomer, Phil, Nate, Coach Cower, breaking down all of the hottest topics around the league on the NFL Today, starting at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, Sunday on CBS. I just threw it across the room. Okay, well, now that we've had that behind us, are you kidding me? Why do I ever read those things without proofreading first? It gets me in trouble every single time. Now, I'm the one who sounds like an idiot when I read AFC Central. Gross. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So we started the segment with...
This is Boomer Esiason.
No. Boomer does not write copy. Trust me. Boomer doesn't even write his own CBS Sports Minutes. Let's be honest. Okay, so we started the segment with Mike Keith on the Titans Radio Network and the stiff arm heard around the world, or as I like to call it, Derrick Henry mansplaining to Josh Norman. I had talked about this last night on the show following the Tuesday night football game, but I wanted you to hear it from Derrick Henry himself. He was asked about that stiff arm of Josh.
I've been doing too many curls. So... I gotta lay out the arms.
That's awesome. I've been doing too many curls. I gotta lay off the arms, peeps. That's great. All right, 855-212-4CBS. I'm afraid to read any more copy. It's sponsored by Geico. Do you want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It will keep you up at night. Or you can switch to Geico and save. Top three, bottom three on Twitter, on Facebook. And also on the phones, Mike is listening in Dallas. Mike, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy.
Hello.
I tried to call the other night, but your phones were blowing up and I couldn't get on.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Kind of sorry, not really.
There was another caller from Dallas, and he was comparing Dak Prescott to Trent Dilfer. And he said, well, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl, and Dak can at least play that good. And I think you might have been supporting him. But and after I make this point, I got to ask you.
Hold on. I might have been supporting him because I just let him talk. Stop it.
Okay, but you should have told him that Dilfer wasn't even getting $1 million a year.
It doesn't matter. His point was that sometimes quarterbacks who are not very good win Super Bowls. And Trent Dilfer, he would tell you himself that defense was what really propelled the Ravens to a Super Bowl going back to 2000. I know Trent personally. He's a great guy, and it's a team sport. And again, he'd be the first to tell you that defense was a monster. And so his point was only that you don't have to be a great quarterback necessarily to win a Super Bowl. I don't think he was putting Dak Prescott in Trent Dilfer's category.
And so I'm not trying to compare the two. What I'm trying to compare is their salary. Trent Dilfer was making $800,000. Dak wants to get paid like he's won 5 Super Bowls.
Dak wants to get paid the going rate for quarterbacks. I mean, it doesn't matter really about skill anymore. What matters is when you sign. I mean, Deshaun Watson hasn't won any Super Bowls either. In fact, he hasn't even gotten to a conference championship game. So if we're going to measure quarterbacks in a team sport based on how many rings they have or how many playoff games they've won, then you might as well look at all of them. I mean, really, right now, the only quarterback that you could say is, quote unquote, worthy of the money based on the rings or the recent accomplishments would be a Patrick Mahomes, of course, and then a Tom Brady, who just now got a contract that pays him $25 million a year. But for the most part, you're just talking about quarterbacks that are slotted in. I guess Aaron Rodgers belongs in that category, too. You're just slotting in quarterback. It's the next one to sign. It's the next guy because it's the going rate. It's the market rate for a quarterback that's not on his rookie deal.
And so what I was telling you like 3 weeks ago is I said, I called you a long time ago during the free agency, and I said, well, if they're going to pay Dak that much, how about you let him go out into the market and see what he really can get?
Because then you don't have a quarterback.
So you think that he's that sensitive that he's just going to leave the team?
No, I don't think Dak wants to leave, but I'm not really sure what your point is. If he doesn't leave, even if he becomes a free agent, he can still negotiate with the Cowboys. But either way, if Dak gets scooped up by another team, and believe you me, there would be another team who offered. If Dak gets taken away by another team, lured away, who's your quarterback?
Well, we would get a compensation pick.
And
we're probably going to win the division with only about 5 wins. We can get that quarterback out of Ohio State, Justin Fields.
Okay, so you just want to start over. You think Justin Fields, a rookie quarterback coming out of Ohio State, who's going to play a limited senior season, will be better than Dak Prescott?
Okay, Amy, do you remember 2015 when Romo got hurt?
I do.
And we had Brandon Weeden. And then he couldn't do the deal, so we traded for Matt Castle.
Yeah, no,
Okay, if our quarterback, our backup quarterback, can't do it, this is my hypothetical. Who would do better
as
the Cowboys quarterback? Romo, Manziel, or Vince Young? Who would you bring back?
What? I wouldn't bring any of them back. You've got Dak Prescott. Well, I don't understand your question. Dak Prescott is your quarterback, according to the Jones family, and Prescott says he wants to stay. If you haven't seen the video that the Dallas Cowboys players did for Dak, it's really moving. It's really supportive. I actually tweeted it on Wednesday. They want him back. I don't know. I don't understand what the issue is.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.